Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I brought along one of my favorite guys.
Did you, Carolyn? Who was that?
I was waiting for that answer. I just swear one of these days he's not going to answer at all.
Good evening, everyone. This is a very croaky Richard, but let me tell you, I've got more voice than I had yesterday and hopefully less than I have tomorrow.
Yeah, Richard's had a cold, and he's doing well, though. There were days when he couldn't speak at all, and we had a quiet
Such a
household.
Relief that was, huh?
I was trying to figure out, what can I say to get my point across and still be kind? But you came in and finished it for me. Thank you, Richard.
My pleasure.
Oh, that's wonderful. Anyway, folks, I think today we're going to have a very interesting show because we're going to be talking about three words: regeneration, rejuvenation, and DNA. I almost forgot there for a minute. I only had three words to remember. Oh, dear. Deary me. Anyway, what got me started on this quest, so to speak, is I was watching a program put out by TED, T-E-D. TED.com is their website, and there are ideas worth sharing. And sharing, you really do want to share. Once you hear some of these people talk, they're just incredible. The cutting edge of what's coming tomorrow. And they are such beautiful people. And I was watching a show where this gentleman was talking about so many individuals coming back from war with limbs that they have lost. And he was bringing forth the idea that wouldn't it be wonderful instead of having to use a prosthesis that we can actually work with regeneration. In other words, regenerate a new limb. And he showed some very fascinating slides. One of them was a newt. And in case you're not familiar with a newt, which I wasn't, N-E-W-T, it's part of the salamander group. And he was showing this picture how this newt generated new limbs. It was really quite fascinating. And they did it rather quickly. And so when I went to the pages looking at some of the scientific evidence, because he talked about they knew this, had this idea back in the 20s. And I thought, my golly, why wait so long to work on something that is so phenomenal? And then if you're interested in this topic and you look at regeneration, there's a lot of creatures in the wild that know how to regrow a limb that's lost. Some of them actually, if they're some creatures, if they're in a place where they can't get away, they'll actually bite off a limb knowing they can grow a new one. So it's really just fascinating, this whole idea. And there were a lot of examples, for instance, of individuals who had grown, as far as humans, now getting away from the biology aspect of it, we have cases, which really surprised the daylights out of me, where people regrew fingers, ribs. They haven't had very much luck with liver yet, and they haven't explored regenerating kidneys. But when you stop and think about what the medical profession does to do transplants, and they have some sort of understanding that it is a possibility to regenerate limbs that are lost, I just found that so fascinating as to, you know, why this wasn't done. Studies in the 70s showed that children up to the age of 10 who would lose fingertips in accidents can regrow the tip of the digit within a month, provided the wound is not sealed up with flaps of skin. So apparently, at the point now when there are injuries of digits of fingers, they sew skin over top, and they found in the 70s that if you don't do that, you can grow a new digit. I just find that utterly amazing. They gave an example of as late as August of 2005. A gentleman, Lee Spivak, in his early 60s, accidentally sliced off the tip of a right middle finger just above the first phalanx. And his brother, who was researching regeneration, gave him some kind of powder that they covered the wound with the powder, and the tip of the finger regrew in 4 weeks. This news was released in 2007. My goodness, I haven't heard about any of this, and I just find it so fascinating that we haven't developed given the kind of money that medical science should give to this to follow this closer. Anyway, I wanted to place in your mind what regeneration is. So the body, whether it is of the human or whether it is in other animal species, have a knowledge on some level of how to regrow organs to their original capacity. Now, the next thing I want to move along to is rejuvenation, because that's another piece of the puzzle, piece of the pie, so to speak. And Richard, if you'd be kind enough to give your concept of rejuvenation so people understand it, this would be wonderful. Can you do that?
I can do that, Carolyn, yes. For me, rejuvenation has many threads to it. It's indeed something that has been on a level practiced over the centuries. There are, for example, yogic practices which do stimulate many of the organs and so on, and at the very least slow down the aging process. More than this, there have been, you might say, mystical traditions that have enabled rejuvenation of the physical body. Those of you that have read the book brought forth by Claire Hartsong, Anna Grandmother of Jesus, will be aware that, assume that we accept Anna's story, and we certainly have been given to understand that the majority of that book is accurate, that Anna aged to somewhere around 65 years of age, quite normally, and then rejuvenated to about the age of 35 or so, and lived at that age for some 800 or so years thereafter. And so that certainly is a process of rejuvenation. Perhaps even more striking than that, though in a sense not so much rejuvenation, but more an example of arresting the aging process, would be the story of Babaji, who is, by my calculations, over 2,500 years old and looks about 30. He was a teacher to many of the Essenes, including Yeshua. And although some have said he's come and gone in a physical expression upon the planet, it is my clear understanding that he has not left. So there have been many illustrations over time of these kinds of processes. There are other stories that abound that, for example, Saint Germain lived for over 400 years. So clearly he discovered a few secrets along the way. So there is these kinds of examples of what we might consider rejuvenation. And the essence of the aging process has, as we've come to understand it, been very much driven by the decay of what is known as the telomere, an aspect of the chromosome, which a little piece breaks off each time there is cell division. And so this can only break off so many times, and so it limits the number of times that the cells can reproduce, and hence some of them stop reproducing, leading to the aging process. Excuse me, I just tried not to share that coughing fit with you. But another piece to the rejuvenation puzzle is the subject of rejuvenation in this time. As we approach what we understand to be a time when ascension will emerge upon the planet. And this needs to be looked at from within the context of Atlantis and what went on in Atlantis and the fall which followed Atlantis. Before the fall in Atlantis, the physical body did not age as it ages now. And also, there was a perfection in the physical body that we do not see today. And indeed, all of us are drawn to those who carry a very high level of perfection in the physical body, whether it be male or female. We are drawn to those striking examples who very often show up in our lives as film stars and others. So, in this time, the physical body has aged, and it is our understanding that part of the preparation which needs to be undertaken before the arrival of that December 2012 solstice is a return of the physical form to that approximating that we had before the fall in Atlantis. That is a physical form which does not age and a perfected physical form. And those of you who are close to our work will understand that we, Carolyn and I, have been working very hard to get active a command to bring forth rejuvenation, the so-called rejuvenation command, which you might say is a sister command to the karmic clearing command that we have been using for the last couple of years. So we know that command clearly works. And the rejuvenation command, when it is activated, will bring forth this perfected physical form. You might say it is to bring forth what is known as the Adam Kadmon physical form, that form of the physical body that we will have beyond ascension. And as I mentioned, the physical form carried a perfection back then. So not only will it trigger the rejuvenation of an individual back to the age of their choosing, assume they carry a few extra years like I certainly do, but it will also bring forth a perfection. So, for example, if you have some kind of disfigurement, whether it be as a result of an accident or whether it be that you are missing a limb or some function such as hearing for some other reason, then perfection means that these things will be corrected. And so when Carolyn talks about regeneration of limbs, this expression of rejuvenation also embodies this regenerative process, along with a form of regeneration which is not simply the recovery of what might have been removed, but indeed what may never have been there. For example, an individual who is congenitally deaf, for example, is missing the bones in the inner ear as a result of experiencing the rejuvenation command, and that means attending an event where the command is used, even though that individual will not hear the command, those bones will return to the inner ear. This might seem a little bizarre to you, but that is what we understand, because the whole notion of ascension needs to be looked at in the context of what happened in Atlantis, what existed in Atlantis, what the fall represented, the fact that this some 13,000 or so years of the fall is a window in time between the two proximate alignments with galactic center, which we are about to experience. And so this fall, you might say, was all planned, just as the recovery from it is planned. So I hope that kind of covers the subject of rejuvenation for you, Carolyn.
Thank you, Richard. Something that I just wanted to add to that is the spacing of cells, because that seems to have a lot of bearing on what happened in the fall. When we fell down to the third dimension, things were compacted. In other words, it was like trying to put 14 ounces in a 12-ounce bottle. So electrons were compacted. It meant that the cells of our body were compacted. And I do believe this had a very big effect upon this break from the perfection of the body, along with the change in the telomere. We have a caller on line 3, so let's talk to Maggie and see what's on her mind. Welcome, Maggie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, dear. What can we do for you?
Wow. I took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting you to bring me on. You did the second time now.
Oh, you just thought you would hang out there on the line for a while, huh?
I just got on. I'm just listening to everything. Yes, I'm going through an incredible change, metamorphosis, whatever you want to call it. I just finished reading a report that I had a friend of mine do for me that has to do with like the time from now to next year. And mm-hmm. I've just cried through the whole thing because it's like what's coming down. And I think it's related to the shift or, you know, the ascension. Can somebody give me a little insight into what's going on right now with my life and to what? I don't know what I'm supposed to be asking here. I guess are we asking about life in general, life, our life, our whatever? I don't know. Man, a lot of change is coming. And
Richard's trying to ask you something, Maggie. Hold up for one second.
Sorry, let me try again. Maggie, it sounds like you were just calling in to listen to the call, yes? Listen to the show.
Well, yeah, and I just, because it said if you have questions, call this. I didn't,
yeah. Okay, so, there are two numbers. If you just want to listen to the call, there's another number you can call. And so,
But Maggie does have a question, though, Richard.
Yeah.
She started.
So, can you repeat your question? Carolyn might be able to answer it for you on some level.
Okay, my question, I guess, is what is actually happening right now? When do we expect this ascension to really come about? The changes in our lives right now are happening. I know they are in mine. They're amazing. And when is this ascension really going to start?
Well, perhaps I'll give an initial answer, Carolyn, if you want to fill in some bits.
Yeah,
fine.
I got something I can add. You can start, Richard.
Maggie, I suggest that one thing that might help you with this is if you go to get our understanding of things at the very least, then go to our website, the2012countdown.com, because it explains this in quite a bit of detail.
Okay.
And perhaps the place to start is the page where you'll find I've linked a bunch of YouTube videos, which kind of express quite a bit of what we've come to understand. But let me put it in a nutshell for you as we understand it. There are very powerful energies that will come to the planet with the coming December 2012 solstice. These energies are transformative for every particle on the planet. It will shift the vibration of those particles, not only within the bodies of humanity, but everything, all other animals, all rocks, everything. And for people, it is the first step in moving from this so-called third dimension to a fifth dimensional existence. And so in order to make that transition, it's necessary for all of us to that wish to participate in this to undertake a level of preparation. The first is to clear our negative past life karmic energies, and the second is to rejuvenate the physical body. And I was just explaining what the nature of that rejuvenation process is, and the clearing of past life karmic negative energies. We've been given a karmic clearing command to do that, and we've been using that in calls for the last couple of years, as I mentioned. So that's step one. Then there will be a trigger, which we expect at the end of December, which will activate the human DNA to go from the current two DNA strands we have to the over 2,000 DNA strands that we had before the fall in Atlantis. Hard to imagine going from 2 to 2,000, or indeed from 2,000 down to 2. But it seems that science has no real explanation for the some 98% of the DNA that we have that does not participate in those two primary DNA strands. It's referred to as either junk DNA or mitochondrial DNA. And our understanding is that that is the physical aspects of the rest of the DNA, not all of which is in physical. And then the actual ascension process itself will occur at the time of the March 2013 equinox.
Okay.
Now, another place where we get a lot of information is on our monthly conference calls that we have with Archangel Michael, with the female aspects like Isis, Lord Metatron, and they usually come in and tell us about current things that are going on. For instance, this change that we're talking about has been coming little step by step. And unless you're aware of that, people kind of think, oh, this is something that's going to happen all at once. But, for instance, this Venus crossing that just occurred, if you're familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
People who came on the call, who attended that call that... Richard, who was that? I forget who discussed that Venus crossing.
Isis.
Isis did. Okay, thank you. She talked about how that energy was affecting human beings, what was happening in the earth, and people on the conference call were talking about their experiences with the energy that was coming in. So it's very helpful when each one of these energetic, you might say, when we are open to these energetic adventures as they come to this planet, it's kind of good to know what's going on. And Richard, we don't have a place where anybody can connect with on our website. I don't think we have any of those conference calls on there, do we?
Well, there is a page on the the MetatronMinutes.com website where there are some illustrations of those calls. There's a page called Join Conference Calls or something where there are examples of those calls, but not current calls. I haven't put anything new up there for a year or so.
And so this, as I said, these changes are happening piece by piece. And if you're not aware of what's going on, people many times feel these energies, but they don't understand what's happening in their body. For instance, during the Venus crossing, what the people talked about was how they had no energy to do anything. What were some of the other symptoms, Richard? I forget what people were talking about, what they were experiencing during that crossing. Do you recall?
Carolyn, I don't really. I was struggling yesterday.
You were struggling with the cold. I was struggling with my own energies. But a lot of people were really commenting how difficult it was for them to negotiate, to do their regular work, that it was a very strong and powerful energetic time. Did you have any note of that yourself, Maggie?
Well, okay, I'm going through a breakup with a very a relationship with a person I've been really loving and in love with. And I just realized that he doesn't feel the same. And we met that day, and he had these goggles. We met to say goodbye and give me my something back. And he had these goggles, and we're looking in the sun with these sunglass-type goggles. And I'm like, I don't see anything. But it was like that day was a day of reckoning for me. It was like this is a day of ending things, you know.
Well, let me tell you a little word. Let me tell you a little word about that, because you might find this fascinating. This was brought up on many of the calls, like we were talking about these conference calls, because people's vibrations are changing, and there is a desire to be with people of like mind, of like heart. And when one person advances and the other one doesn't, there is a breakup. And so many of the people on the conference calls were talking about this, that this is going to be a time where, number one, you're going to have long relationships that's going to break up. But on the other side of that, there will be new relationships formed. Because as a person moves on, their understanding grows, their vibrational level grows. They're going to outgrow some of the past acquaintances that they've had, and they're going to meet and make other acquaintances that they will form steady relationships with. So keep that in mind, Maggie.
Thank you. Because I'm heartbroken.
Yeah, don't be heartbroken over it, because from what we're hearing on our conference calls, this is something that is going to happen with families, with friends, with relationships at on the job. And it is simply because we're outgrowing one another, and we are making it's almost like cleaning out a closet. You know, you clean out a closet from some of the old things you've got in there, and you go buy new. Something more modern. So take heart in that, Maggie. And you might even want to consider joining some of those calls. Richard, did you give her the address for the conference calls? I'm not sure. Did you?
I do get emails from you guys. I do get emails. I'm working a job that is keeping me so busy. It's like a day and night thing. And I think I emailed you, Richard. I got this job finally. I'm a realtor, and I went through a total, change in the last few years and lost everything. And it was a really incredible experience. I lost everything from, house to bankruptcy and a little bit. And I'm coming back, and it's going to be greater. I have so many wonderful things coming to me. I can't even believe it. And that's why I listen to you guys. I don't even know where I found you. I have no idea. But I am a manifester, and I bring things into my life.
Great.
When I'm happy and positive, I just bring things. It's amazing. I mean, from lawnmowers to roofs to whatever, you can't believe. And I'm looking forward to a greater peaceful life. I am so needing and wanting that. And so, I listen to you guys. I think it's incredible. Who I have become good friends with is, oh my goodness, she lives in Wisconsin where I'm from. my mind just drifted away. We just talked the other day. She's helped me tremendously. One of the cherubim. And I just can't remember her name. I just love her.
Happens to us all, man.
Very good. Isn't that weird? Yeah, it's called old age. Okay, or whatever. But she is wonderful, and she's helped me with this breakup. She's helped me. Rosemary.
Oh, from beautiful Rosemary, yes.
I love her.
Of course
and
you
we
do.
We became friends because of the chat group, the Cherubim Yahoo chat group. I mean, it's like amazing how she came into my life, and we don't even, I said, I'm coming home. I want to meet you somehow. Anyway, oh my goodness. It's just amazing how miracles happen. I love it. I'm depressed because I'm losing this wonderful man. I think he was, maybe he's not, but I know there's something greater out there, and I want that.
And that is the way to look at it, my dear Maggie, that it's, you know, let me give you a definition of a word that I really like is chaos. And I have an interesting ebook, Chaos Before Creation, but what, you know, we think of chaos as something that is really terrible, that is something that is negative. But if you think of it in these terms, energy is never destroyed. It is rearranged. And that is what chaos is. It is the rearrangement of energies going from one place to another. And before they form the new reality, there is what is called chaos. It is this great movement of particles. And we are experiencing that now in many forms of our life, the movement of these particles forming something new and better. So it's good not to look at these things as losses, but rather a rearrangement of your energy, a rearrangement of your life, a rearrangement of your future to something much more content in your life, much more beautiful. Be spiritually attuned to it. Don't run away from it. Face it. Feel it and intend what you want in your life, and it will manifest.
I hear you. I'm writing my goals that I did it with the full moon, or the new moon, rather.
That's
yep,
beautiful.
Yep, burn the list the whole bit.
That's
yes,
beautiful, Maggie. Good
and
luck
said,
to you, dear.
Thank you very much, guys. I love you. Yeah, I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and thank you so much for calling me or letting me call you.
That's
you.
Great.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Camelia is on line 4. Welcome, Camelia. Or is it Camilla? Camilla, are you there? Are you hiding in the background?
She's gone.
Yeah, I guess she dropped off. Camilla, I think it is. If you wish to come on and bring your question forth, we'll listen to you, and we're waiting for you, dear. So just to reiterate what we were talking about earlier, so many people that we talk to are going through the same pangs that Maggie went through, a reorganization of their lives, whether it's professional or personal or both. And there usually is a lesson, something that our soul wants us to understand, to know about whenever we are in a situation where we're feeling uncomfortable about something. And I would say that so many of humanity has the tendency to run away from situations rather than face them head on, find the answer, regroup, and bring something forth that they truly want. Would you agree with that, Richard?
I would.
Well, Camilla is back. Apparently, she heard us call her. Camilla, this is Carolyn.
Yes.
Welcoming you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, thank you. I've been listening about explanation about physical rejuvenation, and my question is, What about those who have an invisible deficit, such as those with intellectual disabilities, all of those on the autism spectrum? Those type of they're not so much physical, obvious physical deficits. How will they be affected by regeneration?
Are we going to talk about children or adults? Or should we look at both?
Both. I have a young adult daughter, so that's my particular interest, but in general.
Richard, do you wish to speak to Camilla about those with who are autistic or mentally deficit in some fashion?
Well, in simple terms, as I understand it, Camilla, we have all chosen to walk different paths when we have incarnated. And some have chosen the path of, for example, autism for particular purposes. In many instances, as I understand it, these individuals are actually undertaking key energetic work in relation to this time of shift. And you might say they are individuals who belong in the fifth dimension rather than the third. They really don't fit in this consciousness. And so as events shift, it will assist them on that level. But more than that, really when I mentioned the changes, the healing that will come forth with rejuvenation, there are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. If we are going to be in a place of living in a physically perfect body, firstly, no one is what you might term spiritually deficient. We are all incarnated souls. We are all aspects of the monads that have sent us forth. And so that we are not, you might say, deficient or flawed, to use those terms, on that level. It's simply a matter of healing the physical form or healing the emotional form on some level. And all of these will be resolved so that if the individual participates in the ascension process, then they will at the end of that process be fully capable, as any other human being will be beyond that point. Does that help?
Yes, but I'm a little confused because you mentioned people with autism already on the fifth dimension. When they go to the fifth dimension, they will be different than they are in the third dimension now.
What I'm saying, Camilla, is that in a sense they struggle to fit into this consciousness because they're not really of this consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that applies to all, but certainly to some.
So when everyone's in the fifth dimension, they won't be different.
There will be no autism.
Okay, that I just was wondering. That explains better. Thank you.
Do you want to add something, Carolyn?
Well, I think that you answered it, but what's happening here is humanity was very advanced in Atlantis. And without taking a lot of time and going through what the fall was, we fell in understanding. And it was like a level that we fell through to a lower level, like we talked about earlier. So that what is happening is we are going back to that level that we were at that time of Atlantis. And we are even going higher than that. We are even expanding greater than when we were at Atlantis. So Richard mentioned earlier, and you might not have heard, is that we are reaching a time astrologically that we were when Atlantis fell. And so it's like a big circle. I don't look at this as something extremely mysterious, though it seems that way. We had gifts. We lost some of the gifts. We are now in a place where we're going to bring them back and even understand more of the gifts. Does that help at all?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's just that it wasn't, none of that was mentioned talking about physical rejuvenation. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're all going back where we were, and people
and greater.
We're all being the same. Yes.
So
well, that's wonderful. That's something to look forward to.
And it's nothing to fear. Thank you, Camilla, for calling.
Yeah.
We now have Claudine on line one.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Claudine, welcome.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I have a lot of problem with a knee, and then I'm wondering if that's something that's going to get healed naturally with the ascension process, or if I need to go in surgery on it, or if you can
What happened to your knee? What happened to your knee?
Oh, I fell on ice, in 85, and I have problem walking and have a lot of pain.
Yeah. Knees take a real beating, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, if I had a problem with my knee, I would do a couple things. The first thing is I would communicate with my knee and find out what is wrong with it. Now, I know that sounds very strange, but again, humanity has forgotten to learn how to use the right side of their brain and communicate with the consciousness of our body and with the consciousness of other things around us. I know it sounds strange when you think that you could communicate with an animal, with a tree. It is going within. As Yeshua said, you go within, you use the right side of the brain. And so I would, and by the way, Richard, when he teaches this to people, does a beautiful job with teaching people how to communicate with their body. But the first thing I would do would, and this is a spiritual thing, going through the right side of my brain, going within, asking my knee what is wrong. You'd be surprised at the answers that you get when you do this. Now, another thing, it could be that it is telling you, what is it, the right knee or the left knee?
The left one.
Mm-hmm. When you think of the left side of your body, what do you think of?
My left side, well, old stuff.
Could be old stuff, but it is also moving
feminine.
Forward. Yeah, but also moving forward.
Okay.
So that reminder might be there for several reasons, to remind you that it's time to move forward. Or there could be things, energy from past lifetimes. Richard, would you take a minute? Is your voice strong enough to talk to Claudine about what actually karma is, because life karma? Because we really don't have an understanding of that.
Yes, I think my voice will probably stand up for that.
I'll pick you up if you fall.
The notion of karma has been, in my view, misrepresented and misunderstood by so many. The notion of karma in its broadest sense is, you might say, energetic patterns that arise as a result of repeated activity. But the particular thing that is relevant to us at this time is the nature of negative past life karmic energies, because these need to be cleared before that December 2012 solstice. And the common understanding of people is that these energies are due to, for example, lessons that we've failed to learn in past lives, or where we've done the wrong thing by somebody. And for the most part, this is not the case. For the most part, these energies exist for humanity because of their experiences with the dark that have been intermingled with those of the light since the fall in Atlantis. We've been accumulating these negative energies from lifetime after lifetime after lifetime in this time, in a manner which does not occur elsewhere and did not occur before the fall in Atlantis. It's been part of this experience. And that is because so many of us have crossed over in situations where there has been, in particular, fear or doubt present, particularly self-doubt. Questioning yourself about why you are in this situation. Did you do the wrong thing that's led to this difficult situation? Or fear when being present at the time of death? And so these negative energies are simply negative energies that were present when we crossed over. That's what they are. And so because we have all experienced these very negative, painful deaths, we have gathered these negative energies and they need to be cleared. It's not because most of us have been living poorly, not learning the lessons we're meant to learn and all this kind of stuff. It's not what it's about at all. And so people misunderstand these energies quite significantly. Does that cover what you were looking for, Carolyn?
Yes, it does. And I would, excuse me, Claudine, I just want to add something to that and then we'll come back to you. I forgot my thread of thought. When a person dies or crosses over, we are moving out, that part of the soul is moving out of the third dimension and is going up to the fifth dimension. Correct? Do I have the right dimension, Richard?
Sorry, when you cross over?
Yeah, you're going from the third dimension to the fifth dimension?
Fourth or fifth, depending on what you're doing.
And when we move to this higher dimension at death, we cannot take negative energy with us. It has to stay in the dimension in which it was created. And so that's what it is. The energies that Richard were talking about was created in this dimension and it has to be cleared in this dimension. And so we come back and we pick that up and have to have it cleared. Just a little thought there. So, Claudine, you had something else you wanted to say?
Well, yeah, I was told here, somebody did a reading for me years ago, and she said I was a scientist at Atlantis when it went under, and I was trying to save it, and then I wasn't able to do that, so I was killed and got my back broken or something. But I didn't leave like some people did, because I stayed there and tried to save it, is what she told me.
Well, but if you look at that, you went from one dimension to another. You went
right
through the death process, and it was a very traumatic thing for you. The events
right
surrounding that was very traumatic, and so that has to be cleared.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So you heard the first part of it, you just didn't hear the second part of it.
What do you mean?
The first part of it, you heard that, you know, you had crossed over, and the second part that you didn't hear is that there was energies that was collected there that just need to be cleared. It's just energy.
Right, okay.
No, so if there's nothing else, Claudine, we wish you well and thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
You're welcome. Well, we have 5 minutes, Richard. I don't know if we have enough time to really discuss much about DNA. However, I will say this, that when we're in the now, we see past, present, and future. And I have seen several times what our bodies were like in Atlantis. It was just remarkable because I saw that. The light was so bright. The light was so bright coming through the cells that it was brilliant, that you couldn't even hardly see the color of the garments that a person was wearing. That is the way it looked like in that state. And to see that, it is just so magnificent to know that that is what we are moving back to. The magnificent light beings that that we were and really are, we will gather that light up and we will hold it back in our bodies again, moving to the next dimension. And I, for one, am so excited to see that.
Well, you're one of the few that has been able to witness that in the way that you described, Carolyn. And as we know, most of humanity has no recall of what it was like to be present in that consciousness. And so it's not an experience that most have any recall of, and hence have any real context for what is currently about to unfold. So, you know, that perspective that you have is a very precious one, a very special one. And it's wonderful that you take a moment to share it with people.
Well, thank you, Richard. I do believe, though, that if one learns how to work from the right side of the brain, where they can go to past, present, and future, and that's what it's all about, they can gain these, what shall we say, flashes of light from the past and where we will be in the future. It is quite remarkable. And as you say, it is quite precious, but it also is something that one has to work with. You know, you and I work a lot with that. I don't know if everyone is willing to do that kind of work, but if they are, the results that they can get from that is just remarkable.
Truly.
So, I saw you, I've told you about that, and me, in Atlantis before the fall, and the brilliance of our bodies were just so remarkable. I can't wait, and I will tell you now the way it is. You know, you come into this life, you don't have memories of these sort of things, and when your soul is ready, it opens up these doors for you. And I will tell all of you who feel discouraged that, oh, I'm not going anywhere, I don't have those kind of experiences, there was the time when I didn't either. And I know how frustrated you can get. And I would say to my friends, I know I'm here to do something, but my golly, I can't figure out what it is. What do I need to do? What do I need to know? I don't know anything. And it's a case of working. You know, every day we go to work to earn a paycheck, but don't spend those kind of hours in working on these, what I would call, mystical skills. And if you think in terms of the amount of time that you spend with your mystical skills, and you're really honest about it, you will realize it's just a very small amount of time that you do give to it. So what I have to say about that is to meditate. And meditating is not emptying out the mind. Meditating is really a journey. It is really a journey. So, Richard, is there any last thing that you want to, you might say, connect the dots for people before we go?
I don't think so. You were, was there anything further you wanted to say about DNA at this point?
Well, we're not
because going. You can run a few more minutes.
Okay. Well, we talked about the two strands and the amount of strands that we will be moving to. It's just so phenomenal. And people might say, well, How does all that happen? Well, some of the DNA, as I understand it, was outside the body, but a good bit of it inside the body. It's hard to imagine what we will be capable of going from 2,000, two strands to 2,000. It's just boggles your mind. It's hard to imagine that.
Truly.
What we will be able to comprehend. So the future is so bright. The future is so magnificent that is waiting for us. Don't give up. Work on your skills, your mystical skills, and learn as much as you can. Meditate. Meditate going from the right side of the brain. You know, Yeshua said, go within. This is what he meant by going within. Because you go within, and it is like you see the windows, looking through the window to the cosmos. We can go wherever we intend to go, the past, the present, or the future. We have so much available to us if we just take the time, work with it, with the concept of remembering. We are simply remembering what was lost when we were born into this dimension. Move beyond it, and the doors open up. Our soul and our monad opens up the windows of this journey. It is all there waiting for you. I think we've gotten to the end, Richard, where we have to sign off for today, have we not?
I think so. So thank you for your beautiful contribution, Carolyn. Been very interesting listening to the picture that you've been painting.
Oh, yes. And thank you for coming with your voice.
My what?
Your voice. You've tried very hard and you succeeded. So goodbye for now, friends. Until next week, we look forward to getting things together for you.
Bye, everyone.